visiting with us here this morning. I'm so glad that you chose to visit with us. We're in the fourth week of a series, Joshua. We have two more weeks left to go in this series. And if you happen to miss any of the messages in this series or any of our other series, you can always go online on our website at stoneridgecc.com and you can watch and listen to those messages. I'd like to welcome those of you who are watching and listening live right now. It's great to have you with us. Well, last week we talked about the Battle of Jericho, famous battle. Most of you have probably heard that story before at some point in your life if you've been in church. Today we're going to dig a little bit deeper into that, do a little bit of review. But what do we know about the city of Jericho? Well, its gates were tightly locked. Its gates were tightly locked. Why? Because the people were afraid of the Israelites. Just as way of review here for a few minutes, what did the Lord tell Joshua to do? Let's look in Scripture here in Joshua chapter 6, verse 2. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and in all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once for 6 days. Seven priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the seventh day, you are to march around the town. How many times? Seven times. With the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give one long blast on the ram's horn, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town. My initial reaction when reading this passage here is, you want me to do what? You want me to do what, Lord? This doesn't sound like a battle strategy, but a death sentence. I mean, the people of Jericho could rain down arrows and spears on them as they walked around that wall. Or they could rush out the city gates, break up this line of theirs, and slaughter them. If I were Joshua, I probably would have talked myself out of doing this. This just doesn't make sense. Did Joshua do what the Lord commanded him to do? Yes. Not only did Joshua and the people do it, but they did it daily for 6 days in a row. Here's the thing. We don't know what tomorrow may bring, so we focus on what God has called us to do today. Right? Some of you may need to hear that, right? Because you're overwhelmed and you have a lot going on right now in your life. Right? We don't worry about tomorrow. We focus on what God has called us to do today. In fact, the Lord said this in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:34. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. If you're struggling in life, if you're dealing with some issues in your home, at the workplace, or whatever it may be, you've come to the right place. Take a deep breath, sit back, and relax. You've got to learn to let God fight your battles for you. You and me have got to learn to let God fight our battles for us. What happened on the seventh day? Continuing on there in verse 15. On the seventh day, the Israelites got up at dawn and marched around the town as they had done before. But this time they went around the town seven times. The seventh time around, as the priests sounded the long blast on their horns, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the town. Jericho and everything in it must be completely destroyed as an offering to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and the others in her house will be spared, for she protected our spies. not take any of the things set apart for destruction, or you yourselves will be completely, what? Completely destroyed. And you will bring trouble on the camp of Israel. Everything made from silver, gold, bronze, or iron is sacred to the Lord. It belongs to Him and must be brought into His treasury. When the people heard the sound of the ram's horn, they shouted as loud as they could. Suddenly, the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it. They completely destroyed everything in it with their swords. Men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, goats, and donkeys. So why did the Lord command everything be completely destroyed? Why did the Lord make and issue that command? Why did He do that? Because God was waging war on sin. Sin is to be taken seriously. We looked at that passage last week in Matthew where the Lord kind of fleshed that out, how serious we're to take sin. And He said this in Matthew 18, verse 8. So if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better to enter eternal life with only one hand or one foot than to be thrown into eternal fire with both of your hands and feet. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better to enter eternal life with only one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into the fire of hell. What were the people there in the land of Canaan engaged in? What were these people engaged in? Religious prostitution and infant sacrifice. God, therefore, was just in using the Israelites to completely destroy them. He knew if they were allowed to live, they would influence His people to do the same. God hasn't called His people. God hasn't called you and me to be the same, but to be different. Set apart. Holy. Right? Let me say that again. God hasn't called His people, you and me, to be the same as everyone else today, but to be different. Set apart. Holy. Here's a question for you. Are you living a life that is different from the rest of the world? Are you living a life that's different from the rest of the world? Or are you running after the same things that everybody else is running after today? Are you going to the same places they're going? Does your schedule look any different from your neighbor? If I were to look at your checkbook, what would I discover? Some of you right now are saying that I'm broke. But in all seriousness, Jesus says, whatever you treasure, there your heart will be also. Right? Whatever you treasure, or where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What is it you treasure? The almighty dollar or the almighty God? Why did the Lord command silver, gold, bronze, and iron be brought into His treasury? Because He had given Jericho into their hands as the first fruits of the land. What's the first thing that should come out of my paycheck and your paycheck, our paychecks every month? What's the first thing? Our tithe, or 10% to the church. That's where we left off last week. I'm glad you came back. What's the consequence of keeping it? What's the consequence of keeping what rightfully belongs to the Lord? Every good and perfect gift is from above. Everything we have is a gift from God. What's the consequence of keeping it for ourselves? I'm glad you asked that question. We're going to jump right back into Scripture, right back. back into our story, Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. But Israel violated the instructions about the things what? Set apart for who? The Lord. A man named Achan had stolen some of these dedicated things, so the Lord was very angry with the Israelites. Achan was the son of Kamri, a descendant of Zimri, son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah. Joshua sent some of his men from Jericho to spy out the town of Ai, east of Bethel, near Beth Aven. When they returned, they told Joshua, "There's no need for all of us to go up there. It won't take more than 2,000 or 3,000 men to attack Ai. Since there are so few of them, don't make all our people struggle to go up there." So approximately 3,000 warriors were sent, but they were soundly defeated. The men of Ai chased the Israelites from the town gate as far as the quarries, and they killed about 36 who were retreating down the slope. The Israelites were, what, paralyzed with fear, and their courage melted away. What happened here? What happened? At Jericho, Israel learned God's strength. They were dependent upon God, right? They learned to depend upon Him. How else do you explain marching around the wall once a day for 6 days in a row, and then on the seventh day, seven times around? They were dependent upon the Lord. Now, at Ai, Israel learned her own weakness. She learned her own weakness. She could only conquer her enemies if she remained faithful to God. Even though Achan's sin was private, right? Even though it appeared nobody else knew about it at the time, it affected everyone. Why? Because Achan was a member of the community of Israel. You may think that your sin doesn't affect anyone but you. Wrong. It not only affects you, but everyone around you. But I can handle it. I can manage it. I can control it. It's not that big of a deal. Yeah, that's what the Israelites thought. And then what happened when they went into battle? They were paralyzed with fear, and their courage melted away. I can't think of a worse feeling than thinking God is with you, but He's not. You may remember Samson in the book of Judges. If you've never read the book of Judges, I want to encourage you to read it. It's a great book. Great stories in the book of Judges. You may remember Samson thought that the Lord was with him, but He wasn't. Do you remember what happened when Delilah cried out? "The Philistines have come. The Philistines have come." Judges 16, verse 20. Then she cried out, "Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you." When he woke up, he thought, "I will do as before, and I'll just shake myself free." It's not that big of a deal. This doesn't have any control over me. I'll just shake myself free from this. But he didn't realize the Lord had left him. That's quite a statement, quite a sentence. He didn't realize that the Lord was no longer with him in what he was doing. He didn't even realize it, that he had drifted far away from where he needed to be. In his relationship with the Lord, he had sunk so low, he had gotten in so deep, that he didn't even realize the Lord had left him. How did Joshua and the elders, the leaders here, how did they respond when they realized the Lord had left them. The Lord was no longer with them. Let's read on. Chapter 7, verse 6. Joshua and the elders of Israel tore their clothing in dismay, threw dust on their heads, and bowed face down on the ground before the ark of the Lord until evening. Then Joshua cried out, "O sovereign Lord, why did you bring us across the Jordan River? If you are going to let the Amorites kill us, if only we had been content to stay on the other side. Lord, what can I do now that Israel has fled from its enemies? For when the Canaanites and all the other people living in the land hear about it, they will surround us and wipe our names off the face of the earth. And then what will happen to the honor of your great name?" What happened here? What's going on? Joshua seemed to blame God for the defeat. "Why did you bring us here? Why did you bring us here, God?" Isn't that what we do when bad things happen in our lives? Isn't that what you and me do when something bad happens in our lives? "God, how could you let this happen to me?" Joshua never even considered there might be sin in his own camp, in his own backyard. Never even considered. Never crossed his mind. What did the Lord say to Joshua? Chapter 7, verse 10. But the Lord said to Joshua, "Get up. Why are you lying on your face like this? Israel has sinned and broken my covenant. They have stolen some of the things that I commanded them to set apart for me. And they have not only stolen them, but they have lied about it and hidden the things among their own belongings." Maybe the big question here for this morning. What is it you're hiding that no one else knows about? What is it that you're hiding that you've buried deep down and nobody else knows about it? You stuffed it down, right? Maybe you took something that doesn't belong to you. Maybe you cheated somebody out of something. Maybe you crossed a line you never thought you'd cross. Maybe you justified it by saying, "Well, they had it coming after what they did to me." Maybe you keep trying not to think about it, but it just keeps replaying over and over again in your mind. You can't stop thinking about it. You need to get it off your chest. Proverbs 28:13, Solomon says this: "People who conceal their sins, people who try to hide their sins, will not prosper. But if they confess and turn from them, they will receive" what? Mercy. They will receive grace. They will receive forgiveness. We read this verse, we hear this verse, and yet some of us say, "Nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get help. I'm not going to tell them I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it." And our pride and our stubbornness kicks in. Well, then guess what? You're going to continue to be on the run, or feel like you're on the run. And you're going to live a defeated life. And that isn't the life God has called you to live. How do you know that, Ed? How do you know I'll continue to live that life if I go down this road? Because this is what the Lord said to Joshua and the elders. Let's continue to read on verse 12 in chapter 7. That is why the Israelites are running. That's why they're running. That's why they're scared from their enemies, his defeat. That's why they're living this defeated life. Because they're not doing what's right. For now, Israel itself has been set apart for destruction. Did you hear that? Israel itself, they're set apart for destruction. I will not remain with you any longer unless you destroy, unless you get rid of this junk and this garbage, right? The things among you that were set apart for destruction. Get up. Command the people to purify themselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord of God, the Lord, the God of Israel says. Hidden among you, O Israel, are things set apart for the Lord. You will never defeat your enemies until you remove these things from among you. In the morning, you must present yourselves by tribes, and the Lord will point out the tribe to which the guilty man belongs. That tribe must come forward with its clan, and the Lord will point out the guilty clan. That clan will then come forward, and the Lord will point out the guilty family. Finally, each member of the guilty family must come forward one by one. Now, why did the Lord tell Joshua to call out the tribe, clan, and family? Why go through all this process? First, to impress upon Israel the seriousness of disobeying God's commands. So often you and me, we don't take it seriously that what we're doing is wrong. Second, to give the guilty party an opportunity to repent and confess his sin. Right? To give him time to do this. Unfortunately, this man Achan in our story, he remained silent during the whole process. Didn't open his mouth, didn't say a word while all this is going on. As they're going through the tribe, the clan, and the family. He doesn't say anything. I can't help but think his heart's beating a million miles an hour, right? Perhaps yours is doing the same right now. If it is, don't wait any longer to confess your sin to God. Right? Don't wait any longer to confess your sin. Do it now. Get right with the Lord today. Now is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Don't wait any longer. Verse 16. Early the next morning. I don't like early in the morning. Early the next morning, Joshua brought the tribes of Israel before the Lord, and the tribe of Judah was singled out. Then the clans of Judah came forward, and the clan of Zerah was singled out. Then the families of Zerah came forward, and the family of Zimri was singled out. Every member of Zimri's family was brought forward, person by person. And Achan was what? Singled out. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, by telling the truth. Make your confession and tell me what you have done." Don't hide it, right? Don't hide it any longer. Bring it into the light. Don't hide it from me. Achan replied, "It's true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. wonder I saw a beautiful robe from Babylon, 200 silver coins in a bar of gold weighing more than a pound. I wanted them so much that I took them. They are hidden in the ground beneath my tent, with the silver buried deeper than the rest. Achan may have confessed his sin, but there was no sorrow over it. Right? Yes, it's me, I did it. But there was no sorrow, there was no grief. There was no repentance. The only remorse he may have felt was probably only because he got caught. What happened to Achan? What happened to this man? He saw, he coveted, and he took. He saw, he coveted, and he took. This is the same thing that happened in the Garden of Eden, right? Eve saw the piece of fruit. She coveted it, she wanted it, and she took it. This is the same thing that happened with David and Bathsheba. He saw her, he lusted for her, and he took her. And if we're not careful, it's the same thing that can happen to you and me in our lives. Right? We see it, we lust after it, and we want it. And we try to take it. Yesterday they had the car show here in town. And there was this BMW SUV that had almost 600 horsepower. I don't know why I need that. As my dad would say, son, you need that like you need a hole in your head. But I thought I needed that. And I indulged that fantasy for the next few hours of my life. I just told my wife, Monica, we need that. And which she clearly said, no, we do not. But I was all prepared. I saw it, I coveted it, and I wanted to take it. Sometimes, when it comes to sin, it's good to look ahead. It's good to play things out in our minds. If I continue to go down this road that I'm going down, what are the consequences? What's going to happen to me in my family? What am I going to do to myself if I continue down the road that I'm going? It's not healthy or good for me. What's the price of having an affair? Let's just use that as an example. What's the price of having an affair? Solomon tells us Proverbs 6:32. But the man who commits adultery is an utter fool, for he destroys himself. He will be wounded and disgraced. His shame will never be erased. Oh, that's the price I'm going to pay? I don't think I want to do that anymore. I don't think I want to go down that road. I don't want to destroy myself. I don't want to be wounded and disgraced. I think I'll just stop right now where I'm at. What price did Achan pay? What price did this man pay? He lost everything. He lost everything. He lost his life, his family, his possessions, all of it. Because he saw, he coveted, and he took. Wrapping up, verse 22 here. So Joshua sent some men to make a search. They ran to the tent and found the stolen goods hidden there, just as Achan had said, with the silver buried beneath the rest. They took the things from the tent and brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites. Then they laid them on the ground in the presence of the
Then Joshua and all the Israelites took Achan, the silver, the robe, the bar of gold, his sons, daughters, cattle, donkeys, sheep, goats, tent, and everything he had, and they brought them into the valley of Achor. Then Joshua said to Achan, "Why have you brought trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you." And all the Israelites stoned Achan and his family and burned their bodies. They piled a great heap of stones over Achan, which remains to this day. That is why the place has been called the Valley of Trouble ever since. So the Lord was no longer angry. The price he paid? His life. We're going to close with this question here. Are you giving God your best? Are you holding back what rightfully belongs to him? Let me say that again. Are you giving God your best? Are you holding back what rightfully belongs to him? What is it you're hiding that no one else knows about? People who conceal their sins, people who try to hide their sins, will not prosper. But if they confess and turn from them and say, "You know what? I'm going to go in the opposite direction. I'm not going to go down that road. This is not good for me. This is not healthy." And I don't know what it is for you, right? Maybe it's scrolling endlessly on your phone at night, just looking at whatever. But you know it's just not good for you mentally, physically. Maybe it's an obsession you have with an activity or a sport where your life just revolves around that thing and it has become your God and your idol. And you need to turn from it because it has taken control of you. And then you remind you, tell yourself, "I can control, I can handle, I can manage it, I can stop whenever I want." I tell Monica, "Don't buy ice cream, I can't stop." I have no control. If there's ice cream in there, I keep going back. I get a small bowl, then I go back. She just started with a big bowl to begin with. I'm fooling myself. Go for a little bit, come back. Go for a little bit, come back. We fool ourselves. We need to be honest. Take an honest inventory and assessment. Is this really where I want to be? Am I giving God my best? Maybe you're here this morning and you say, "Ed, I'm not where I should be in my walk and relationship with the Lord. There's some things that I need to set apart for destruction because they're destroying me internally. They're not good or healthy for me. And I know that God has called me to be set apart, different, and holy. And I want that. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life, not this thing." But we're going to pray here. Ask the Lord to forgive us because we all have things in our lives that can take over and control us. We think we're managing them and we can handle them, but we can't. We need the Lord. Maybe you're here and you say, "I've never given my life to the Lord. And my life has been completely out of control. And I want to give him my heart and my life today. I want him to take control." We're going to give you that opportunity. Let's go to the Lord and pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word today. It's powerful and convicting, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. May we always remember, Lord Jesus, that you're the one we're accountable to, and that you see everything in our lives. You know our thoughts. turned off here, just to bow your heads, to close your eyes, and to think about where you're at in your walk in relationship with the Lord. Lord, bring those sins in my life that I'm not even aware of that I'm doing to my mind, that I may confess them and turn from them. And the ones that I know that I'm doing that are wrong, give me the strength and the desire to do what is right. Because I don't want to continue to go down this road, Lord. I know it's not healthy for me. And I know it's not only affecting me, but it affects those around me. Help me, Lord Jesus, to do what is right and pleasing in your eyes. If you're here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, you say, Ed, I want to ask Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. That I'd like to lead